This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. I'm Luke Burbank. Don't blame us. You clicked on them. We have decided to round up our favorites in our own kind of subjective measure of things. The things that you have clicked on, emailed to your friends, read, printed out, all the stuff that you are eating up on the web. And we call this segment The Most. Stepping into the BPP microphone is MJ Davis.
What's up, guys?
What's up, MJ?
I'm bringing you something from Google Trends. The Democratic Representative Dennis Kucinich, of Ohio, who also is a presidential nominee candidate, pulled a bit of a stunt on the floor yesterday. He introduced a bill to impeach the Vice President Dick Cheney. First, Republicans tried to block Kucinich from even holding debate on the floor, but then they realized they could tick House Speaker Nancy Pelosi off more if they let Kucinich play out his little stunt.
Oh, right.
So they almost let him debate for an hour on the floor. In the end, the Dems managed to get the bill referred back to the House Judiciary Committee along party lines. But it was a debacle. It was a stunt. A lot of speculation over which is harder, getting him elected president or getting his bill to pass.
Probably both. We would say unlikely.
Unlikely, perhaps long shots.
Allison, though, you know, you stand up for the Kucinich here.
I stand up for the Kucinich here. I have issues with that he's always portrayed to be nutty.
He's obviously different.
I don't understand why different equals nutty.
He's obviously a crazy person. I mean, he said long ago that there was a lot of problems with the war in Iraq and that was going to be complicated. I mean, what a nut!
My most comes from MSNBC.com. It's about the DARPA challenge. I don't know if you know about this. It's various teams from various institutions, colleges usually, get together to make these robots. And literally these robots are the size of cars. One of them was a Chevy. The winner was a Chevy Tahoe. Now, DARPA stands for Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Yeah, this is from the Pentagon, sponsors this and gets all these very, very smart people together to design these car robots. This one was interesting, though. It was an urban challenge, which means the robots had to obey traffic rules and go on city streets as opposed to being able to just rip it out in the desert. We actually caught up with the winner of the DARPA challenge, the man who headed up Carnegie Mellon's winning team. His name is Red Whitaker. He explains how the robots worked.
It is not programmed to follow a specific pattern. It's programmed to drive and to drive well and to make judgments just like a beginning driver would do. It has to obey California traffic law and the rules of the road and the speed limits, and then subject to all that. It's a competition, so it mattered to do well relative to everyone else, be the quickest to run all those courses and make it look like there was nothing to it.
If you want to hear more of that interview, it's on our blog at npr.org/Bryant Park.
DARPA, the personal obsession of our editor, Tricia McKinney. You watched it over the weekend.
It was amazingly compelling. I can't explain just watching vehicles with nobody inside them driving around a suburban street course.
Yeah.
I couldn't get enough.
Meanwhile, she's verklempt.
Meanwhile, little Cassie raises herself. Hey, Trish, you got the most emailed story from the San Diego Union-Tribune.
Yes, I do. It is actually, I used to live in San Diego, so this one hits home for me. The San Diego City Council has passed a one-year ban on alcohol at all city beaches. Apparently, this all came down. I mean, I guess they've been kind of discussing banning booze on the beaches for a while, but this all kind of came to a head after a drunken Labor Day melee at Pacific Beach, where apparently lifeguards abandoned their towers, and San Diego police, according to the story, donned riot gear to avoid a barrage of beer cans and plastic bottles. So I guess that was kind of the last straw for San Diego, and they're just trying it for 1 year to see how it goes.
Stay classy.
Does not surprise me, considering San Diego's a place where the plan usually is go to the bar, bring your beach cruiser, and then, you know, kind of weave your way home on your bike. You know that, living in San Diego, Trish.
Yeah, that's not how I lived in San Diego. I have to say,
you know.
Never
been to Moondoggies and
down Mission? It's the people with the beer bongs that ruin it for the rest of us, is all I have to say. I mean, you know, hey, folks, just keep it clean.
All right. Ilya Marritz, you've got, speaking of more of the moral decay of this show, what have you got for us?
Well, this is, I'm going to have to disagree with what Tricia said. This is a Swiss study, which is an argument for keeping it dirty. It's one of the most popular stories at UPI, the wire service. And basically, they take apart this study of about 5,000 Swiss teenagers. They looked at the ones who used no drugs whatsoever, the ones who used pot, and the ones who used pot in conjunction with cigarettes. And they found that on indicators of socializing with their peers, doing well in school, playing sports, it was actually the kids who did pot who did the best. They performed the best, and they were socialized the best, which is really interesting to me because it always kind of seemed to me in high school, I was not one of the kids doing pot, but it always looked to me like the kids in high school who were doing pot were the best socialized. So kind of confirms what I always believed.
But they're stoned. They're just kind of nodding at each other.
Don't do drugs.
They're having a good time together. They have lots of friends.
And Switzerland's neutral. What do they have to be cranky about?
Exactly.
That's true.
Matt Martinez.
Hello. How are you?
Fresh here from the Drug Enforcement Agency.
Yes,
Mr.
Yes.
Don't Do Drugs. What
hey,
have you
look,
got?
I'm just trying to spread the message. Absolutely. I have the number one story at npr.org. It's been number one for 3 days now, ever since it aired on Monday on Morning Edition. It's a piece by Robert Krolwich, our colleague, who is just over the wall here. He did a piece on a new... Well, it's actually really not new. It's something that people have said existed. It's the fifth taste. You know, they say we can taste sweet, sour, salty, bitter. They say there's a fifth one.
Hmm.
It's called umami. And the piece is brilliant. And we usually play little snippets of pieces on the most, but actually we're going to play the entire piece explaining exactly what umami is. And here's NPR's Robert Krolwich.